This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Tuesday, 22nd of February, 2022. Markets in a bad place here as we are, of course, seeing Putin's recognition of the two breakaway regions of Ukraine, or the self-proclaimed republics, or however you want to call them, Donetsk and Lugansk, and we don't know what's going to happen next here. This move is very aggressive, and it severs, I would think, for now, any chance, for now at least, of the diplomatic approach to the next step here. So we have to wait. I guess the key is to wait, of course, for how markets continue to absorb this potential risk for further deleveraging, which I think is considerably high. But then eventually what the sanctions will prove to be from the US, UK, and EU side, and how that all feeds into the oil price. But before we get into it, let's just highlight, we have a webinar today from our fixed income strategist, Altea, who will be taking you through what's going on in fixed income. I think a very good time to look at that, not just on the sovereign front, which is trying to deal with what was formerly the focus, all the central bank tightening, but then also what's going on in credit when you have a risk deleveraging going on. So plenty to focus on there in Altea's webinar. Tune in for that. You can sign up on webinars.saxo. Put that into your browser. It does have another UR link. That link is also on slide 2 if there's any confusion there. All right, Peter, we had a very ugly risk off yesterday on this move by Putin. We also have sort of an awkward situation in which the US market was closed. The futures market was open, so that was able to absorb some of this. But it's all happening with a kind of illiquid environment. What's your assessment of where we are? I mean, clearly we see the NASDAQ 100 making new lows for the cycle here. Pretty ugly stuff.
Yeah, and by the way, also the U.S. equity options market will close yesterday, so we didn't get any updates on the VIX index, but we'll get that today. So I expect a curve inversion in the volatility market. More downside risk, of course, and we are trading this morning in the NASDAQ 100 futures at levels below the lows from January. I've put in the theme baskets, but because the market, the cash U.S. equity markets were closed yesterday, they only, you know, semi-updated because of the European and Asian constituents in these different theme baskets. And then a quick disclaimer on the Chinese basket, it has stalled for a couple of days. That's a technicality issue in the Bloomberg, but that will be fixed by tomorrow. So don't read too much into that performance. But otherwise, I've highlighted on the next slide, on slide 4, which is stocks to watch today. I ran a screening in the Bloomberg terminal. And as you can see here, we pulled in companies in Europe with, you know, a market cap of more than 5 billion euros, and then exposure to Eastern Europe. If we did only Russia, often that's a too narrow a geographical segment to report in the annual report. So we did Eastern Europe, which for the most part is predominantly Russian exposure. And I've pulled a list here. So some of these are the companies you have to watch for downside risk. So you have companies, names here, Tesco, Carlsberg, Henkel, Stora Enso in Finland, and you can see some of the names here. Rockwool, as well as a big construction of insulation materials from Denmark. They have factories, etc., in Russia. So these are some of the companies that you would expect. And we have already seen companies, Russian companies, Rusal, for instance. They have a dual listing in Hong Kong. We're down 22%. In the Asian session. And just to finish off the stocks to watch today, also we have had earnings from HSBC, seeing deterioration in the Chinese real estate market and seeing significant wage pressure. They disappointed a little bit there. And then Alibaba, watch for the US open. So the shares were down in Hong Kong 5%, but we'll still have that US listing as well. And that's because the regulators in China are turning up the heat on Ant Group.
All right. Now, in terms of the safe haven reaction, of course, equities down, general deleveraging. We're seeing some safe haven seeking into U.S. Treasuries. No massive surprise there. And we've broken down yield-wise. Of course, the treasuries are bid, but the yield goes down. You can see on slide 5, we're down through that 1.9% area, which was a significant level on the way up. Like, I guess the next level would be those cycle highs just above 1.75%. Stretching back into 2021. And then in FX, very low energy into FX. And I've got a couple of comments on that later. But the one clear thing in Europe going on is the Swiss franc absorbing very significant safe haven flows. And we're seeing Euro-Swiss challenging the lows for the cycle. It seems to be the focus for those trading the headlines linked to Russia-Ukraine at the moment. But I'll tell you, you're also seeing some action heating up in credit markets, which were already starting to deteriorate a bit. I suppose, on the whole central bank policy tightening theme. What's your take on what's going on here? And I guess we have to wait for another U.S. session to get a better sense of what's going on.
Absolutely, John. The problem that we see in the junk bond space is that last week we didn't have any high yield bond yield priced in the primary market, nor in the US, nor in Europe. And yesterday was a dry day in Europe. Two in the US, it was closed. We will see if there is something coming up this week, but it's very unlikely that we have any deal pricing with the volatility that we are seeing in markets right now and with tensions escalating in Ukraine. I want to take you on slide number six because we have talked a lot about the investment, the high yield investment grade spread, and the fact that it remains within a pre-pandemic level. It still is in the low range of pre-pandemic levels. However, what we see is that leverage loan indexes are falling fast. And in the US, the leverage loan index fell a 6-month low. And if you go on slide number seven, you see that leverage loans in the European area dropped to the lowest level since January 2021. Also, when you look at credit spreads, so I'm looking at the ITRAX crossover in Europe and the CDX index in the US, well, spreads are widening above 10-year average. So basically yesterday, we have seen the ITRAX crossover breaking above 345 basis points, which has been the average for the past 10 years of high yield bonds in Europe. So definitely something is happening in this space. There are not clear signs of deterioration yet, but it's unlikely that with the volatility that we have in markets right now, it will not continue to deteriorate.
All right. And then, of course, we need to focus on one of the approximate challenges here as we see sanctions potentially taking shape. What form will those take? And you know, one of the things that's happened, of course, over this last winter is the limit of supplies of energy, especially natural gas, into Europe from Russia. We're seeing crude oil prices up to new cycle highs. I think I saw a print near $98 per barrel. Ole, you're back here with us today. What should we be looking for here in crude? I noticed Brent is outperforming WTI. Is that the kind of the extension of that we should be expecting, or what's going on?
It can be expected, John, because, as we speak, we are now less than a buck and a half away from $100 in Brent crude. So it's not a really question about when we will reach that level. And it is the market increasingly concerned about the sanctions that will be announced later today, whether we can see Russia counterstrike by using the oil and gas weaponed as a countermeasure. So especially towards Europe, where we where something like more than a third of Europe's total imports of crude oil comes from, or fuel comes from Russia, and 70% of that fuel is transported through Ukraine through pipelines. Ukraine is also a key pipeline distributor of gas into Europe. So I think that's the main concern in the market this morning. It's been incredibly volatile, but the uptrend is also incredibly strong. We have to remember that the OPEC Plus, they are signaling that they will continue their gradual approach when it comes to increasing production. But we also know that many of these producers are struggling to even reach their quotas. So the market is undersupplied right now, and the last thing we need is a disruption from one of the biggest exporters.
Yeah, and one of the tough parts for the Eurozone is they can't exactly just cut off supplies from Russia from one day to the next. One source I found this morning, as of 2019. Eurozone getting something like 27% of its imports from Russia. So it really bears watching the whole energy balance there. And we saw effects in the market as well. We saw the German PPI out yesterday for January, 25% up year on year. The Bundesbank saying there's going to be a recession in Q1, talking about the pandemic. But you have a real GDP problem as well when you have these energy shocks like this, factories having to shut down part of their production, et cetera. And then we have to consider what's going on here. You know, normally we would expect, hey, this means less central bank tightening. That's good news. But obviously that's just merely a function of that the news is getting so bad that the market is repricing what central banks will do. What are you seeing on that front, Altea? It looks like the market's pretty much down to the consensus that we'll only see the 25 basis points at the March FOMC meeting.
Well, John, uncertainty in interest rate hike expectation, it's extremely high. And the last week we have seen basically, we started the week with market expecting 50 basis points rate hike in March and then going down to 25 basis points. But as you can see in slide number 8, it was not only the short-term interest rate hike expectation that adjusted, but also the long-term. So the main takeaway here is that everything can change. Yesterday, we had Bowman in the U.S., keeping doors open to a 50 basis point rate hike. And now that we have an escalation of tensions in Ukraine, the big question is what sanctions are going to be imposed on Russia and whether they will increase energy prices. And at that point, it's almost impossible not to forecast the Federal Reserve and other central banks in Europe to front load interest rate hike. That doesn't mean that the market should not adjust long-term interest rate hike expectations. And that's what we have seen overnight with the euro-dollar futures adjusting for an interest rate cut in 2024 in light of the Ukrainian story. So definitely this is something in continuous evolution, and the expectations here that the volatility and uncertainty is going to be high until the next Federal Reserve meeting.
That's pretty interesting. People trying to game when the cycle ends and actually they start to cut again. But that's the nature of what you can do when you look out that euro dollar curve. All right. Very briefly on FX, I find it fascinating here. I had a discussion with our Australian strategist in an internal call this morning. And I had noted previously that the Aussie, for example, was really resilient in a backdrop of very weak risk sentiment globally. And said this was admirable, but I wonder at some point if it goes from being admirable to being a little bit clueless. If you look at where the Australian equity market is, for example, it's only a couple of percent off of its highest daily close of late. Is this just assuming that this is just a little European distraction and not appreciating the global risks here from energy prices being reset higher globally? I don't know. It's a very interesting a divergence, if you will, in what's going on globally. The euro is being impacted. We are seeing the safe haven seeking into the Swiss franc. But look at slide 8, the FX overview there. And euro yen, for example, has corrected. But I would have expected, if you'd given me the what's going on, for euro yen to have corrected much lower still. And is that this regional divergence, this sort of sense in Asia that this is just a distraction? We're actually getting down to reopening our economies and waiting for Chinese stimulus, et cetera. I don't know. But I'm very curious to see how this situation develops and if the contagion gets a bit more global and a little bit less bottled up in more of the European indices and then in the U.S., of course, the most liquid market in the U.S. But you've got some thoughts specifically on Europe and especially Germany here, Peter.
Yeah, because we mentioned it, or Steen mentioned it on the internal call, and it is quite fascinating. We are only 5-7% off from the DAX index being the leading benchmark index on German equities, basically back to where we were pre-pandemic. So in other words, and you can also see in this on slide 11, it's a five-year chart here. We're getting very close to average levels over the past 5 years. So German equities going nowhere over a five-year period. And I've put in the lower right-hand side corner here, we have the MSCI Germany index versus Europe. And as you can see here, the German equity market has underperformed quite dramatically lately. And I think, you know, that goes back to the chart that Ole had with the dependence on energy from Russia. Germany is really under pressure here. So it's if you're wanting to attack this escalating situation from the short side of equities, I think the German equities is definitely a place to look at. And then earnings, slide 12. It is a busy week, as we talked about yesterday. The key focus today in the U.S. session is Home Depot. I've put in the 5-year chart here. They're going to be expected to deliver a very solid Q4 earnings release here. So the big question is the outlook, of course, with rates up 100 basis points in what have you 6 weeks in the US. So the question is whether that have already taken some steam out of the US housing market. Then Mercado Libre, e-commerce growing very fast, have been one of the big casualties during the sell-off in e-commerce stocks. And then Palo Alto Networks, which is, of course, a U.S. technology company, also worth having a look at in today's session.
Yeah, and then overriding everything, again, is the response on the sanctions front and then their counter response to that. Very concerning, I think, because preceding this decision by Putin yesterday, there was a long speech in which he said that Ukraine is basically an artificial, quote, artificial construct, and that it's the U.S. and NATO that have made Ukraine a, quote, theater of war. So this just does not sound like something that is going to resolve quickly into some sort of diplomatic negotiations. But we have, of course, no idea to what degree this will continue to aggravate, especially energy prices as a key input here as we're looking forward. So, basically just distractions, if you will, on the macro calendar for today. You can see on slide 13, again, the consumer confidence survey expected to drop slightly to 110. Compare that with the pandemic lows in the high 80s and the global financial crisis lows sub 30. It's just incredible the divergence between this index and that Michigan survey, which is suggesting that sentiment is near all-time bad levels. So I really want that to resolve one way or the other, one of those two resolve towards the other, some mean reversion. RBNZ, the first developed market central bank to meet here in the teeth of this crisis. Do they start to get a little bit cautious? Could this be seen as a model for what other central banks might do? I don't know, but it's an interesting one to watch tonight out of New Zealand. All right, stay on your toes out there. Let's respect to where things are. We didn't mention gold. Gold has done well. It's facing key resistance here, 1920 area, the last major resistance level above the 2000 and then the 2075 top that was posted back in 2020. It does offer, it's something we've touted before, it does offer a good diversification, we feel, in this market to have some percentage of a portfolio, especially for the longer term in the gold market. All right, that's it for today. Let's stay on our toes out there. Be careful, and we'll be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.